From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences the next message in a series of studies in the book of Joshua. After a personal meeting with Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord, Joshua set in motion the plans that would result in the overthrow of Jericho. As we've seen in the recent broadcasts, the first step was to send spies to evaluate the city's condition. In the course of their incursion, the spies were given refuge by Rahab, a heathen woman of immoral character. Yet, through the reports of Israel's previous victories and the miracle of the nation's deliverance from Egypt, Rahab realized that the God of Israel was the true and living God. In the course of a message called Rahab, A Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith, Dr. Cairns will show how God deals with every sinner to bring lost souls to salvation in Jesus Christ. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns speaks briefly about the glorious truth of the intercession of Christ.
There are very few complete success stories in the world. You take the great victories of, say, nations on the battlefield, and you realize that their so-called success masks a lot of failure. Britain and her allies won the First World War. They won the Second World War. But that success came at a great price. In many ways, you could describe it as a lesser failure than the so-called defeated German armies. In other words, human success is really very seldom complete. But there is one success story, the greatest success story of all time. It is the gospel story. The Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and He saved sinners. Jesus Christ came on a particular mission. He came to save His people from their sins, and He does and will save every one of His people from their sins. He came on a mission. He came with a definite purpose in view. And there is absolutely no failure in Christ's performance of what He came to do. His aim is exactly the same as His accomplishment, and what He accomplished is everything that He set out to accomplish. So we read, He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And now, until He comes again, He intercedes as the great high priest at the right hand of the Majesty on high, which is to say, in the place of all heavenly power, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes. He takes our case, our cause, and as our advocate, He pleads before the throne of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, the priests of the Old Testament all had one thing in common. They had to lay down their priesthood. It was transferred to someone else. When Aaron died, his son, Eleazar, took his place. When he died, Phinehas, his son, took his place. And so down the years, one replaced the other. But the Lord Jesus Christ has an untransferable priesthood. He is a priest forever, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. His is an undying priesthood. And today he does intercede. He does appear as our great high priest. What a wonderful comfort this is. Christians today in many parts of the world, perhaps you're one of them, are enduring great afflictions, great trials. They are facing great challenges. They feel deep perplexities. They have foes within and without. It seems to them that Satan can laugh at them, and they feel we're going to be swallowed up. We're going to be defeated. We can't continue. Perhaps it's bodily weakness. Perhaps it's family or business troubles. Perhaps it's persecution. Whatever the cause may be, God's people in many parts of the world are suffering deep affliction. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have prayed for you. Satan does desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Let us understand this today. Let us take comfort in it, that the Christ who died for us, the Christ who rose again for us, is now interceding for us at the right hand of God. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one, his words for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves me.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts. We want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly Let the Bible Speak magazine. In the next issue, Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, presents a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. Also, there'll be a mission focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
When John Bunyan wrote or decided to write his autobiography, he looked for a title. And as he thought of his life, the kind of man that he had been, what he had done, how deeply he had sinned, how wickedly he had sworn and cursed, how foully he had lived, and then as he thought of how the Lord had reached him and saved him, made him a saint of God, he decided to call the story of his life Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. I think that had Rahab ever written the story of her life and testimony, she might well have chosen the same title. Certainly she had a very strong claim to being regarded as the chief of sinners. And yet just as certainly she was saved. She experienced the grace of God. Very few people in history have ever risen to such a height from such a depth as Rahab did. She began her days as a heathen Canaanite in Jericho. She ended her days as an esteemed adopted Jewess living among the people of God, with a respected position in society, a marriage into the royal line of the tribe of Judah, and ultimately had the honor of being in the direct lineage of the coming Messiah. In a nutshell, that is the story of Rahab. In Rahab, then, we see the gospel in all its glorious scope, reaching even to this woman where she was. In Rahab, we see the gospel in all its glorious power, doing for her what no other power on earth could do. This then is the story of the grace of God that abounds to the chief of sinners. And I want us to think of it very, very simply and in a most straightforward manner today as we look at Rahab and consider salvation by grace through faith. Because the New Testament adds that last element. We can see the grace of God very clearly in this woman. But the interpretation in the New Testament is adamant that that grace was received through the exercise of faith. There are three views of Rahab that we must consider. Let me give them to you, just in case I don't get all the way through. That's not very normal, as you know here. But just in case, let me show you what we want to consider about this woman. The first view we have of Rahab is of Rahab under condemnation. Then, the second view we have of Rahab is of her under conviction. There's a wonderful work taking place in this woman's heart as she is revealed to us by the Spirit of God in Joshua chapter 2. She's under conviction. And then the last view and the abiding view we have of Rahab is of her under the covenant of God. Rahab under condemnation, Rahab under conviction, and Rahab under the bond of the covenant. Let's think of her first as she appears in this passage of Scripture. Rahab under condemnation. She lives, we are told, in a house in the double wall of Jericho. She lives in a house that is notorious not only for its position, but for its wickedness. For her house was so obviously known as a house of ill repute that those like these two spies who had but entered into the city knew that it was the house of a harlot. It was a house known for its wickedness. It was a house in a city of great reputation among men, and yet in a city that was clearly cursed by God, marked for judgment, and soon to fall. Now, when you think of Rahab in those terms, you will find in her a picture of every sinner. You find Rahab exactly where you find every sinner in a state of nature. First of all, Rahab was undeniably a guilty sinner. When you read this story, especially with the talk of spies coming in, and with the interrogation of the officers of the king of Jericho, and her subterfuge, her misleading of the spies, the story may take on something of the aura of a romance. You may think of her of something, or like something as a Mata Hari. There's a mystique begin to romance about this woman. But it's altogether misplaced. There is nothing romantic about Rahab. Rahab lived in the gutter. Rahab was a woman who had fallen as low as womanhood can fall. Rahab must have brought shame to her mother if her mother ever had any decency within her. Even in a heathen society, Rahab was earmarked as a woman of particularly low morals. She sold her body for filthy lucre. She sold herself without regard to reputation, without regard to family, friends, or personal dignity. She sold herself for lust and for lucre. She was an immoral woman. Now, in this day of loose morality, in this day when people think little of the marriage bond, in this day when people think that there's nothing unique about marriage, and therefore they can live with whomsoever they choose, whensoever they choose, for whatsoever reason they may choose, Rahab's sin may not appear to be anything so terrible after all. But my friend, that is a wrong judgment. That is merely to say that we're living in a society that has bred harlots by the million, though they don't call themselves that anymore. We're living in a society that has dragged down the common level to the level of Rahab. Far from excusing Rahab, it merely incriminates far more people in her sin. Rahab was undeniably a vile, filthy, wretched, guilty sinner. She was a heathen by birth, a heathen by upbringing, and to top it all, she was willfully, wickedly given to sin. Now, as I've said, millions have sunk as low as Rahab. Millions of others pride themselves that they haven't sunk as low as Rahab. They may not in that one particular instance. But nonetheless, without Jesus Christ, they're guilty sinners. The Word of God finds every man and every woman in the state of nature exactly where God found Rahab. Guilty, unclean, wicked, rebellious, and may I say, as far as any in this meeting are concerned, with much less excuse than Rahab. She was born into heathenism. Now, even the religion of heathenism, and this is true to this very day, the religion of heathenism has always been notorious for its lack of moral standard. She was born a heathen. That did not excuse her own willful wickedness. But nonetheless, it shows you that people who are born with a Bible in every room in the house in which they're born, they have been brought up under the preaching of the Word of God. They have been exposed to the gospel of God and to the law of God. They know the truth of God, and yet they still go on in their rebellion and their wickedness, their sin and their debauchery. Those people have much less excuse even than Rahab had. She was undeniably a sinner. My friend, it's very, very important that every man and woman recognize, without beating about the bush, without trying to deny the reality of this, that that is the pit in which God defines every one of us by nature. The man or the woman who quibbles about their sinfulness, who tries to excuse the sinfulness that God sees and the Word of God notes, will never be saved until they recognize the reality of sin, the wickedness of sin. Instead of judging yourself, therefore, by the standards of the hour, instead of judging yourself by what is happening all around you, you must bring yourself to the Word of God, to the law of God, to this truth of God, and let the light of Scripture search out the inmost recesses of your heart and bow before God, confessing, I am a guilty sinner. And until that step is taken, there will never be any hope of salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.